the effort to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act has resulted in House passage of the American Health Care Act. And, well, it's a bill that is pretty ugly from the perspective of Mainers when you take a look under the hood. All you have to do is take a look at a recent analysis of the AHCA conducted by the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Joining us on the telephone right now to talk a little bit about that analysis, James Mile from Maine Center for Economic Policy. James, a policy analyst with MESIP, and we're pleased to have him returning to the program this morning. James, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Good morning, Don. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. This analysis that you've taken a look at, as presented by the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, certainly suggests that somebody with poor health in rural Maine is not going to benefit in any way, shape, or form from the so-called AHCA.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so the the biggest problem with the proposal for as passed by the Republicans in the U.S. House is that it ignores some of the realities of healthcare in rural parts of the country. You know, and we know that that label of rural applies to a large part of Maine, mm-hmm. And especially those parts of down east Maine and inland and northern Maine. The cost of healthcare is very expensive, and the older you are, the more expensive it gets. And the Republican proposal in the House has only made that worse by allowing insurers to charge older Mainers five times what they charge younger Mainers. So they've potentially increased the cost of health insurance, and then they've reduced the amount of tax credits that are available for people on low income. So it's kind of a double whammy for people living in those areas.
Now, James, of course, Maine has not expanded healthcare under the auspices of the Affordable Care Act. It's something that Maine lawmakers have sought to do and have, in fact, passed legislation to do so, five times and rebuffed every single time by governor's veto. How does the analysis of this indicate that our failure to expand healthcare here in Maine has been a bad decision that we've now made again and again and again?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of a really good way of summarizing it. And sort of it's a series of missed opportunities that we've had because of the governor's veto of this legislation the past several years. I mean, of course, there is, Mainers will have the opportunity to vote on accepting this federal funding to improve access to healthcare for low-income Mainers this November, when the question will be on the ballot.
Indeed.
So there's still that opportunity. The report from the Center on Budget really makes it, help reinforce that what we know from several pieces of research now, which is just the series of benefits that expanding the Medicaid program to cover people who are living near poverty really has for everyone, not just those who get insurance under the program. So obviously those people who gain coverage under the program gain access to preventative care services and to just sort of healthcare services in general, and it's particularly valuable in rural parts of the country because, again, private insurance is more expensive, and more people in those areas either work for employers who don't offer an insurance program, or work for themselves. You know, people are engaged in activities like farming and fishing, and so they don't have the option of getting insurance through their employer necessarily. And so Medicaid proves a really vital part of the health insurance system in those areas. And so one of the things that the paper shows is that, those states that have increased the eligibility limits for their Medicaid programs and taken that expansion option have seen bigger gains in the number of people who have been insured under the Affordable Care Act. And it's also really helped hospitals in those areas as well.
Yeah, along those helping hospitals lines, James, I was really shocked to see just how significant the impact is. Uncompensated care costs as a share of all hospital operating budgets fell by about half over the course of 2 years, between 2013 and 2015 in the states that participated in expansion. I don't understand why aren't the CEOs and the executive directors at the rural hospitals here in Maine who have not seen their costs drop by half screaming and hollering to high heaven all over the front pages of the paper every time we turn around, or are they, and those voices are being somehow drowned out?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen sort of general support from groups like the Maine Medical Association and from the different hospital groups for the idea of accepting the federal funds to expand Medicaid coverage in the state. And for exactly that reason, you know, there's just mounting evidence that we've seen from a whole series of, like, you know, these 30 states that have expanded Medicaid. We've seen it across the board that the amount that hospitals, basically the cost that they have to eat in either charity care or bad debt from care that they've provided that people just can't afford to pay back, you know, those amounts have declined because, you know, and it doesn't take a lot of it doesn't take a lot to understand why, because, you know, when people have gone from having no health insurance to having health insurance, suddenly, you know, they're able to pay for the care that they need to receive. You know, that's the one of the things that opponents of expanding healthcare access always forget, is that, you know, not having healthcare doesn't mean that people don't get sick. They still get sick, and the rest of us end up paying for it one way or another through increased insurance costs or through increased costs of the hospital to make up for that bad debt. So, and we know that, you know, half of Maine's hospitals last year operated in the red, and so we, and the situation is becoming pretty desperate for some of the rural hospitals in particular. And so this has been a real consequence of not taking that federal money to provide insurance access to more people.
We're speaking with James Mile, a policy analyst for the Maine Centers for Economic Policy. James, there are many who will make the claim that, well, this is all based upon an analysis that's conducted by an organization that has a very specific bias here, that the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities is nothing other than a left-leaning think tank, and you should expect to hear exactly this sort of thing from the CBPP. How do you respond to that notion?
Well, you know, I would say that if you look at the report, you know, it builds on the, you know, as with all the best research, you know, it's built on the work of academics and reports that we've seen for a number of years now, and the body of evidence that we have that lays out just the numerous benefits of increasing people's access to healthcare. It's just pretty astounding. There are very few public policy decisions where you have this much evidence to show that it's going to work, and yet you have still have some politicians sort of lining up against it. So we've seen studies, and most of these studies are conducted at, you know, extremely reputable academic institutions, and we've seen them from places like the Harvard Medical School, they've looked at this from all kinds of angles, and we see it from, like, increased health outcomes, increased savings for state budgets, increased savings for hospitals. It's just it's pretty overwhelming, the body of evidence that supports the benefits of this policy by now.
So the problem that we have here is that despite the mountains of empirical evidence clearly detailing the problems associated with the AHCA, we still have people who are refusing to listen to it because they just sort of close their ears. It's not unlike the resistance to the notion of a global climate change, James. There seems to be plenty of evidence. The numbers bear it out. You have experts lining up to say, yep, bad idea. And yet there are still ideologically those with their heels dug in, fighting against this tooth and nail, and much to the detriment of the people who they are elected to represent, Congressman Poliquin.
Yeah, I mean, the Yeah, it's a classic example that's, you know, it can be very baffling from the outside when you see, you know, all these, the overwhelming weight of evidence on one side, and then sort of the, you know, resistance to something like the idea of climate change or the AHCA, just sort of wanting to push it through, despite all these objections. And you see the, the American Medical Association, the pharmaceutical industry, and the, even the insurance companies, you know, a number of organizations that, you know, haven't necessarily been in favor of consumer-friendly reforms in the past, you know, even they have lined up against the Republican plan in the House, and it's been the AHCA, and it's been kind of remarkable to see sort of the push to try and get it through despite even sort of both business and consumer interests saying yes. That it's not a good idea. So.
It appears that really this was nothing other than an effort to claim at least one political victory for Republicans and President Trump. And the reaction from senators, including Maine's very own Senator Susan Collins, has been, yeah, the AHCA is DOA. When Senator Collins says, hey, we're gonna take this and we're gonna essentially scrap the whole thing and we're gonna start from scratch, is that the sort of thing that we should find solace in? I mean, should we feel better about this and recognize that, hey, maybe those in the Senate can actually get this right? Or have we just kicked the door open to allow them to craft a bill that still isn't going to address the significant concerns of not just individual patients, but also the broader healthcare community, the healthcare industry in rural areas like Maine?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing out of the Senate, it still seems like it's kind of early days there for sort of what the Senate plan will look like. But I think it's pretty clear that whatever the legislation the Senate comes up with, it's not going to look like very much like the House bill. Because, you know, as we've seen, the House bill has so many problems with it, and it's, you know, so much of a sort of stitched together bill without a whole lot of coherence to it. And you know, one thing that's clear, for example, that, you know, the House bill wanted to roll back the Medicaid expansion and sort of undo all the good work that we've seen in these 30 states, and then deny the opportunity to other states like Maine that are considering it and have the opportunity to take that federal money. And a number of senators, including Susan Collins, have made it pretty clear that they're not going to allow that to happen. So I think there's, you know, that's one thing, for example, that is a big gap between the House passed plan and what the senators are looking at. And so, you know, I'm reasonably sort of hopeful and optimistic that the Senate is going to do sort of its constitutional job of slowing down some of this legislation and making sure that it's not rushed through in a hasty way. But I do, you know, I think it's, as always, it's important to make sure that, you know, we as constituents are able to let our elected representatives know sort of what concerns we have about this bill and the ways that we think it needs to be improved or put back to the drawing board as well. So I think, you know, anyone listening who has concerns about the healthcare bill, I certainly think it's worth getting in touch with Senators Collins and King to let them know the problems with it and what we'd like to see in any revised version.
And certainly, what with the vote in the House already having been taken, I guess reaching out to Congressman Poliquin may be a moot point at this juncture. Interesting to note that after repeated protests in front of his local constituent office here in the city of Bangor, James, people picketing in front of Congressman Poliquin's office that was located at 6th State Street, part of the downtown area here in Bangor, very sort of high-profile location. He's chosen to move his office, move it away from the downtown area, apparently taking up residence in a property along Bangor's waterfront, according to a conversation that I had earlier this morning off microphone with our news lady, Wendy Chadwick. Wendy, that was what you had been told, correct?
Yes, and I checked his website, and he's actually, the name of the building he's moved to is Union Plaza.
Ah.
I couldn't think of the name of the building, but that's it. It is on his website.
So
today.
Okay, so he's changed the address of his Bangor office on his website. Almost after the fact, though.
Yes.
Nobody seemed to be aware of this move prior to.
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm sure the congressman isn't, trying to avoid communication with constituents.
So for anybody that wants to know, he's in Suite 7 at 4 Union Plaza.
Good to know.
Thank you, Wendy. And James, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to pore over this analysis as crafted by the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Anybody who's ready to just dismiss this out of hand as, some sort of progressive think tank blather needs to take a look at the very specific evidence that's presented, the very real numbers. They're there for anybody to take a look at and review. I'm going to put a link up on our Facebook page that'll take folks right to the MESIP blog that you've got up there with regard to this particular analysis. Certainly appreciate your time this morning, James.
Sure, no problem. And I would, I'd want to let anyone listening know that if they're interested in this issue, they should also check out the campaign that's going to be on this November's ballot, which is to expand Medicaid expansion in Maine and get some of those benefits here. And they have a Facebook page, which is Mainers for Healthcare. And I believe there's a website that's going up soon as well. So if anyone wants to be involved or a supporter of that, they would certainly be most welcome.
Excellent. Solid point there. Thanks for making sure we get that out there. James Mile is a policy analyst with the Maine Center for Economic Policy. We certainly appreciate your time, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot.